Let's speak to Emily, verbally, mentally and physically abused by her former partner. We've changed her name to protect her identity. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about what your ex would do to you.
Well, I was in a physically and emotionally abusive relationship for 7 years. And when I met my husband, he was a very well-respected professional person at the top of his game. He had a big job and, as I say, was, you know, a real high flyer. I was running my own company and I was studying for a postgraduate degree. So I can only echo what Sandra said earlier. This happens to all sorts of people. And it's not about how clever you are or what sort of person you are emotionally. Domestic violence is about power and control, and it's not about the victim. It's about the perpetrator. Most of the domestic violence that I suffered happened behind closed doors. But when it did spill out in public, it had a new terror to it, because I would sit there humiliated and devastated, but I was absolutely frozen to the spot, and if anybody had intervened, it would have made it a million times worse. And I think that's probably quite hard for people to understand. But what I didn't want was anybody coming up to us in that situation and trying to sort it out or trying to ask me if I was okay. Because at the end of the night, I have to go home with that man, mm-hmm. because I have children in the house and I'm going home to my home. And people intervening would just make the likelihood of it being worse when we got home just much greater. So I can only say that if anybody sees this, please just call the police. The police now are skilled at coming to your home when your partner isn't there and talking to you without the fear of your partner overhearing or your ex overhearing what's going on. So you're more likely and more able to give a full statement of what's happened. But just that thought of somebody coming and saying something, I do my absolute utmost to just pretend everything was fine and smile sort of cheerily at waiters and things. But yeah, it was just much more frightening if it happened in public.
What would be the nature of the control in a public place then?
Well, I think sometimes it's about, you know, the perpetrator is all about control, and they know that as a person you're not going to want to make a big scene in a restaurant or anything. You're going to sit there and try and pretend that everything's okay, but you know, the verbal abuse, the putting down, the threats, you know, if you get up and walk out, I will do this, I will do that, you know. So just that whole thing where you're sat frozen and rooted to the spot enduring it. And you know what it's like in restaurants, even the really posh ones, the tables are only a metre apart, aren't they? So everybody can hear what's going on. And it's just that sense of humiliation as well, you know, somebody putting you down with an audience effectively. And using that sense of power and the fact that there is an audience to humiliate you further.
Can I ask you about the first time there was physical violence?
Yes, the first time there was physical violence was when I was pregnant. I think that's quite a common story. There'd been a lot of abuse, verbal and emotional, psychological abuse in the run-up to that, which it's very difficult to see the pattern coming. Someone gave me a really useful analogy once, which is it's called the boiling frog syndrome. When we talk about this, we talk about all the awful things that happen, and people hear it and think, well, why don't you leave? Why would you stay in a relationship like that? But if you drop a frog into a pan of boiling water, it jumps straight out. But if you put a frog into a pan of cold water and heat the water up slowly, it will boil to death. And that's what it's like with domestic violence. It creeps up slowly and slowly and slowly. So when I talk about this, it just sounds like, oh, it's all terrible. But there's a long, slow build-up of control and things that in the beginning of a relationship you actually think might be quite nice things. So people demanding to see you and wanting to be around you and wanting you not to go out with other people, just in the very beginning of a relationship can seem quite flattering. Mm. And I think that's why it's so difficult to spot the pattern before it's too late and then the violence has started.
And what did happen when you were pregnant?
Well, lots of abuse. I've been thrown downstairs. I've been punched, kicked, slapped. I've had medical treatments withheld. Really quite awful things.
And eventually I think you did contact the police.
contacted the police a number of times before I actually left. But yes, eventually I did go to the police because the violence had started to happen in front of the children, and that for me, I just couldn't do it anymore. It just was my wake-up call, I suppose.
What help were the police?
The police initially were very good. They were very good about taking the statement. The Community Safety Unit put me in touch with Refuge, which is a tremendous support. But where they let me down was in actually prosecuting my husband. And there was a review of legislation last week where the CPS have to now talk about when they don't prosecute, and that would have been tremendously helpful for me, because the police put the case forward and the CPS decided not to take it forward, because by that point we were divorcing. And they said, well, it's likely just to be a sticky divorce, which is just so awful, because, you know, I'd got the courage to leave and to actually make a permanent separation, and then to be told that therefore they wouldn't prosecute just felt totally gutting.
Mm. Did they actually say that to you? It was because you were divorcing anyway, because as you know...
No, I didn't get an official reason.
Right.
I got some...
Because usually it's because they don't...
Verbal feedback from the people running, from the DI running the case.
Right.
That was the feeling. Well, that was what they assumed was the feeling, but I didn't, because there's no... Despite asking and asking and asking, there's no... At that point, there was no way of getting that information why they weren't prosecuted.
And are you still working now?
Yes.
Yeah.
I run my business.
And you have the children, clearly.
Yep. Yep. My children, yep. And, yeah, life is starting to pick up again. And, you know, hopefully there's a bright and happy future for us all.
What would you say if there are people listening who may relate to the kind of incidents you've told us about? What should they do?
Well, despite what you feel, you are not alone. And contacting somebody, a charity like Refuge or Women's Aid, is the first step to stopping this and becoming free of it. And it feels like a huge, huge uphill struggle, and it feels like there are so many things tying you and keeping you in that relationship. But you can do it. You absolutely can. And even if you've got very young children, because I have very young children, you can still do it.